Good morning, everyone. I'm really encouraged today. God is good, isn't he? All the time, yeah. Praise God, yeah. Thank you, everyone, for contributions so far. It's been lovely, you know, kind of just the worship and, yeah, what Barbara was saying and the song, Teresa, that was lovely. Yeah. And believe it or not, I'm over 50 now, do you know? I'm just a youngster, thank you, yeah. And what I'm becoming more aware of, and I expect many of you have been on this journey already, is the need to persevere in the little things of life. I don't know, there's the little things, don't they? They all kind of add up. for better or for worse, yeah, sometimes. And we all kind of know what's good for us, don't we? We know it's good for us, you know, our kind of, you know, exercise, food, you know, sleep, all those physical, you know, for our physical bodies, we know what's kind of good for us, don't we? We sort of know that. And I think spiritually, we also know that too, don't we? We know spiritually that, you know, we do have to pay attention spiritually to our walk with the Lord and to build that as well. And these little things, they really help us, don't they? The good things, anyway. They add up and they set us up for success. They do. But so often, don't we? We fail to step forward. You know, we sit on the fence. You know, we let some of the opportunities pass us by sometimes. I know I'm guilty of that sometimes. And this morning, we're going to take a little look at the subject of faith. We talked about that already, through the story of Jesus, who was anointed by a sinful woman. And so you know that story. It's Luke 7, 36 to 50. And I've inundated Kevin with lots of scriptures this morning. So bless Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. So here we go. This is Luke 7, 36 to 50. And it's a really interesting story. I love it. But we're going to think about faith in the context of this. So here we go. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, or what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Jesus said, "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say amongst themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What a wonderful story that is. Can you imagine being there? Yeah. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's what caught my attention. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so we need to ask ourselves, don't we, when we read these kind of stories, you know, what does this story tell us about faith? What does it tell us about faith? Simon was having a meal with Jesus. When was the last time that you had a meal with Jesus? Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Have you ever had a meal with Jesus? Jesus is a great guest to invite to dinner, isn't he? Yeah. He wants to come and meet with us, doesn't he? What would you cook him for dinner? I've no idea. What would you give Jesus for dinner? I'd be so nervous, wouldn't you? Yeah. And what would you talk about? And what would he say to you? Meeting Jesus, it's a bit like that Zacchaeus moment, isn't it? Where he kind of like sees him in the tree and he says, come down out of that tree, for I'm coming to your house for tea. You know, it's that kind of, it's that moment, isn't it? Where I go, oh, really, Lord, you know? What would he say to you? And would he find faith in your heart? Or would you just be there for an intellectual conversation? Would you just be there for the questions? I imagine the Pharisee Simon had a nice dinner laid on for Jesus. Probably didn't cook it himself, I don't think. He's probably someone else. But he was probably ready to ask him lots of difficult questions. He probably wanted to trip him up. I don't know. It's good to ask questions, isn't it? But as we see in this story, Jesus is looking for much deeper relationship with us. We see that Jesus cared deeply about Simon and about the woman. There was two extremes here of society. You know, this woman had crept in, hadn't she? They were meeting face to face. Both of them got to meet face to face with Jesus, an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus, who never seems to be surprised by anything, uses the unexpected intrusion to teach Simon a visual lesson, doesn't he? About the true faith that comes from the heart. Have you ever done something like this woman has done? Is there a time when you've done something utterly outrageous? I couldn't think of anything, so I'm not going to tell you anything, don't worry. She was absolutely outrageous, wasn't she? She didn't hold back. She didn't ask permission. She just piled in. She gate-crashed a formal dinner party and poured out her true feelings. Have you got faith like that? Have you loved Jesus that much? I'm asking this of myself too, yeah? James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Intellectual faith, head knowledge, must flow into action. there must be an action. Faith must be lived out, or it's no faith at all. How do you live out your faith? What would Jesus say about your faith? Would he say, "She wet my feet with her tears, she wiped them with her hair. She has not stopped kissing my feet. She has poured perfume on my feet." Wow. There's no doubt that Jesus touched her heart. At that moment, she had completely burnt all her bridges, hadn't she? She was all in. She was fully committed. So that was the first take. I missed a point there. The first takeaway point in this is faith without action is dead. So that's a point to take away. Faith without action is dead. And here's the second takeaway point. Faith and love go hand in hand. Faith must be grounded in love. Here we talked a little recently about the armour of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8 says, "Since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Faith and love as a breastplate. What does a breastplate protect? A heart, yeah. And this is the very core of being a disciple of Jesus. Faith, hope and love, they're the eternal things, aren't they, that last. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these things remain, these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. And that's what we're seeing in this story. This woman was motivated by love. She saw Jesus, didn't she? And she wanted that love, didn't she? She didn't hesitate to show her love for Jesus. And Jesus recognized her outpouring of love as an act of faith. Does this story bring some encouragement to you this morning? Did Jesus reject her? No. It reminds me of the verse in 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8, or the two verses. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." And that's what happened for this lady, wasn't it? Her love for Jesus was just so evident. And it just overspilled into outrageous actions. And she was richly rewarded. Yeah. "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And this is what Simon needed. This is what we all need. We all come to this decision point in our lives, don't we? We all need to know in our hearts that we've been forgiven much. The debt you and I owe is immense. No worldly riches can even begin to pay off the debt that our sin cost Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, of the Holy Trinity, he who put stars into space, the great I am, he came from heavenly glory to a broken earth to pay the price of man's sin. Just think about that. Such was the debt. There was no earthly payment good enough to cancel our debt. The sentence of sin is death, an eternity lost without God. But Jesus came to earth in human form as a child, and he died in our place because he loves us. He loved us. And Jesus, speaking to Simon, speaks to each one of us. Whoever has been given little loves little. Do you have a little faith in him? He's meeting with you. He's meeting with me right here. And he wants to remind us through his word. He loves us. He loves us. Just like Teresa this morning. He loves us. He does. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This woman was clearly a sinner, wasn't she? Simon was also a sinner. He couldn't quite see it. He thought he was righteous. But they both need to know the saving love of Jesus. And the Bible says that faith is necessary for us to be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it's a gift of God. So the third takeaway is that this is a step of faith. A step of faith is needed for us to enter in to the gift of this relationship with God. So it's not just something you can hold in your mind intellectually, something that we mentally agree with. No, it comes as a step of faith. It's a decision of our will to love Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Your faith has saved you, he said. There's a verse in Romans 10:10 that puts it all together. It says, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And immediately the verse before it, verse 9, says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. So takeaway point number 4, faith comes from hearing God's word. I've been quoting lots of scriptures at you, and Kevin's been really good keeping up. If we speak out the word of God, then we are speaking the truth to ourselves, aren't we, to our minds. That seed of the scripture in us to guide and direct our lives. The helmet of the hope of salvation is a belief and declaration of the true word of God. And when you know the truth sets you free. Yeah. We are born again. We are a new creation. Hallelujah. So takeaway point number 5, and this is the final takeaway. Salvation comes by confessing. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So just a few things here to note. Empty words will not wash. It's not some kind of religious ritual that we go through. True faith is grounded in love. The love comes from understanding who Jesus is and what he's done for us. The debt we owed was paid in full. He has written off every single charge against us. Isn't that amazing? In fact, he's written it off against all mankind. Do you notice verse 42 in this story? I noticed it. And he says, neither of them had any money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. What kind of moneylender is this? That's the sort of moneylender you want, isn't it? What a prophetic statement that is. Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. No matter how big or little you have sinned, he is the only one that could pay your debt. He's the only one. He died in your place so that you could go free. Just think about that. The sin of the whole world, past, present, future, paid for with his precious blood. What an outrageous act of love. You know, Jesus didn't just talk about this, did he? He lived it. You know? Well, I think there's a parallel there, isn't there, with this woman? You know, it's just like, whoa. Put my heart out there, don't you? And I think Jesus was, you know, Jesus did that for us, didn't he? Romans 8, 5-8, okay. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let's recap on what we learned about the Jesus kind of faith. Faith, number one, faith is dead without action. Number two, faith and love go hand in hand. That breastplate. Faith takes a step. Number three, faith takes a step, and it's a decision of our own will. And we have to take many steps of faith, don't we, in the Christian life? Faith comes from knowing and applying the true word of God, number five. And for number five, finally, faith needs to be confessed, declared, spoken out. So Jesus Christ is coming to dine with us. Will he find faith in your heart, a faith that comes from a love for him? Having made that confession of faith, that decision of the will, that visible action, when you pray to God, do you pray with words of faith that reflect your love for him? That reflect the truth of who he is and his word. You know, faith is about being in agreement with him, isn't it? You know, we're saying the same as him. And this is the key, isn't it, to an awesome relationship with God. You know, this is a living faith, faith in action. So I've given you a few practical takeaways there for you to bring your faith to life that you might not have realized some of those, I don't know. But he died to save us, and he was raised that we could have this wonderful relationship with him. Day by day, for all eternity. So yeah, beyond this life, here on earth. So I've said enough. God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is calling on each one of us, on all of us. Where's your faith? Show me your faith. Yeah. Let me hear your confession. Let me see your love. He's our resurrected Lord Jesus. And just like the woman in the story, we're invited just to come as we are. Come to Jesus and give him all your heart. And if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you throughout this service, if you'd like to take a step of faith in response to this truth, then please come forward. Do come forward and we can pray for you. We'll be happy to pray for you. And it might be that for the first time you're putting your faith in Jesus, or it might be a recommitment to persevere in the faith, or it might be something you're dealing with right now where you need that faith. You maybe need to step out in faith. to commit to him and his word. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, his love never fails. He can be trusted.